Oh, what anointing have we felt in this house tonight? That's my prayer, that every time we come into a church service, God, that your anointing would be there, because it's his anointing that destroys every yoke. And it's his anointing that brings us into a place in the Spirit that we can receive things from him. It's his anointing that gets the enemy off of our back and puts him under our feet where he belongs. The enemy has no place on my back. He's only supposed to be under my feet. And if he's going to be under my feet, it's going to be an effort on my part that I pray it through. And I say, God, I'm going to get the enemy off of my back, and I'm going to put him under my feet where he belongs. My, what some revival we do feel in this house tonight. Oh, I feel that there's people in this house tonight, you're hungry. You're hungry for something from God. You're hungry for something. You're seeking after something. And he said, they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, the same shall be filled. You know, when I get hungry for a steak, you know what I do? I go find me a steakhouse. When I get hungry for some good seafood gumbo, I'll never look anywhere else except Brother Connell's house. When I'm hungry for something from God, it doesn't matter where I am. You know where I go? I go to God. If I'm driving down the road and I'm hungry for something from God, you know what? I can come and dine right then and right there. We can find him wherever we seek him, but can I tell you? It's just something about when we walk into the house of God. This place that has been dedicated to God. This place that he said in the New Testament, in the book of Matthew, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer. It's something about Brother Connell when we walk into his house and he makes us feel welcome and makes us feel right at home. And he says, I got a place set for you at my table. Why don't you just come and dine? Can I tell you, he's here tonight? Oh, there's a hunger in this service. Oh, and you've come to his house. Why don't you just feast on what he has to offer tonight? Oh, Jesus. Oh, I'm going to attempt to sing tonight if they know the song. We're going to try this old song. Just an old, old hymn. But it's my heart tonight. I'm not on an ego trip. I'm nothing on my own. I've made mistakes, how often I've slipped, just common flesh and bone. Oh, but I'll prove someday just what I say, that I'm of a special kind. For while he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Every one of us. The look of love was on his face, the thorns were on his head.
blood ran on that old scarlet robe and stained it crimson red. Though his eyes were on the crowd that day, he looked ahead in time. For while he was on that old rugged cross, you and I were on his mind.
Sing it with me tonight.
For he shine. I was so unworthy of such mercy. For while he was on the cross, you and I were on his mind. For while he was on the cross, you and I were on his mind.
Oh, can we thank you for that love that over 2,000 years ago, he knew where you would be this very moment in time. He said, you know what? Oh, I'm going to shed my blood. I'm going to give my life for you. My, my, my. What a wonderful, wonderful spirit we feel in this house tonight. A wonderful, wonderful spirit we do feel in this house tonight. Today, as church was over and we walked around and we visited a little bit, Brother Connell, and I walked outside and was walking to my truck, which is, I had parked around the corner, and on my way out, Brother Connell, something caught my attention. I was walking down the sidewalk. Walked by a building that's right next door to this building. When I walked by that building, Sister Connell, I saw a sign on the window. And I just kept walking. You know what that sign said? For rent. For rent. Brother Connell, when I saw that sign, I glanced in the window. It looked to me like it was just an empty building. But you know what I saw in that building in the spirit? I saw some pews. I saw some hungry people. Oh, God's going to give this church revival, Brother Connell. God knows your sincerity, brother. He feels your heartbeat. Your love for people is very evident. God's going to give this church revival. Is it going to be while I'm here? I don't know. Can I tell you, brother, you've proven to God your love. You're proving to God your sincerity. God's going to fill this place up with people that are hungry. That want to hear the truth. that don't want their ears to be tickled by some preacher that just wants their money, but somebody that's interested in seeing someone be saved. Oh, a good man of God that He's placed in this town that's hungry to hear somebody speaking that heavenly language. Oh, God wants to fill it up. Oh, God wants to put some pews in that building next door that this wall can be knocked out. I don't know how they join, Brother Connell. Oh, and it may not be that physical building, but God wants to fill this place up. God wants to give you a harvest of souls. That's what my prayer is. When I go places, you know what? I like to have revival. But when there's a harvest of souls, can I tell you? It does me so much good when I see people come and receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's what we call revival. Because you know what it does to the church family when they see somebody bow their knee at an old-fashioned altar and God fills them with the Holy Ghost. You know what it does? It gives them an inspiration. It gives them a desire to do something more, to reach somebody else that's lost. Oh, let's have a harvest of souls and be revived in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, let's just walk in the Holy Ghost just for a moment. Let's just walk in the Holy Ghost for a moment. For rent. Oh, there's people coming that we don't even know about. There's victories around the corner, Brother Connell, that we can't even imagine. There's things that God's going to do for this church. Oh, that is going to be mind-boggling. Oh, the things that God wants to do. Can I tell you, it's because of a desire that this church family has. A sincerity that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I feel the effectual prayers. I feel the fervent prayers in this assembly. That God is going to honor those prayers, Brother Connell. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. How many in this place tonight, you've ever had dreams and you've ever had hopes of what you would be, dreams of what you would become as you grow up? This young man on the drums over here talked about enrolling in college today. If I'm not badly mistaken, that's what he was alluding to. Enrolled in college. And obviously, he's got a dream. Obviously, he wants to do something different with his life, brother. I was reading some things about Elder Connell on it on the website of the church, and he'd written a book and was in the process of writing another one. Can I tell you, I've never written a book. I do understand if you're going to write a book, there's got to be something that you envision. If you're going to write about something, you've got to already have it in your mind. And try to portray to people on paper what it is that's in your mind. Can I tell you in the spirit? Do you have dreams? Do you have visions? Is there things that you want? Is there people in your life that don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Do you not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but you got visions in your mind that everybody that's running around these pews and dancing and worshiping in the Spirit, there's a joy that they have. And I want that joy. Whatever it is that they have, I want that joy. You've already envisioned yourself to have already gotten what it is that everybody else has got. I had a friend of mine finish high school, took a job, got married, had a couple of kids, brother, and he realized that he wanted to be something different than what he was doing. So you know what he done? In his mid to late 20s, even into his early 30s, he enrolled into a college, and he went for 4 years, I believe it was. and got his professional engineering degree. You want to know what drove him every day, Brother Connell? A man that had a wife and two children back at home. It was a vision that I want to be different. I want to better myself. I want to do something different with my life. I don't want to always be stuck in this hardware store job. I want to be somebody. Can I tell you it works the same way in the spirit? That when we vision ourselves, you know what? If you vision yourself always being beat down by the enemy, you know what? You're always going to be beat down by the enemy. But if you can ever catch a hold of a vision and say, you know what? That victory that I want, I'm going to do everything I can to obtain it. Whatever I've got to lay aside, whatever I have to sacrifice, those things that I want in God, I'm going to lay down my life. I'm going to get rid of everything that was normal to me. I'm going to lay it aside because I got a vision of what I want to be in God. Do you have a vision of what you want to be in God tonight? You know what? Without a vision, or you just sit around on a church pew, or you'll just be someone that takes up space. But a church family that's got a vision like this church family's got, the sky is the limit. I said the sky is the limit tonight. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. I feel such victory in this house tonight. I don't know what it is that you came in here needing. If it's the Holy Ghost, you know what? You can get it right now. If you came into this house tonight needing the Holy Ghost, you can have it right now. If you came into this house tonight fighting a battle, and you just say, God, I need the victory, you can have it right now. You know what you gotta do? You gotta get it in your mind. How many people have you ever been talking to? They was trying to explain something to you, Brother Connell. The way they started this conversation off is, hey, picture this. Picture this, and they begin to tell you the story, give you all the details. And you're building this picture in your mind. Oh, when you're reading a book, brother, everybody pictures it a little different because there's ways that you picture things in your mind. Picture this tonight. Picture yourself victorious over the enemy. Picture yourself with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, and you've got to reach for it. Reach for it. Picture yourself, or that the enemy's underneath my feet, or the enemy, he's no longer on my back, but he's under my feet. I picture myself healed. I picture myself full of the Holy Ghost. I picture myself victorious over all of my enemies. Oh, let's get a vision of victory tonight. A vision of victory tonight. My. If you have your Bibles, we're going to turn to the book of Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. Once again, I want to say thank you so very much to Brother Connell and his family. Brother and Sister Connell and their family. This church family for allowing us to be here. It is our privilege to have met your good man of God. What a prince of a man. And I feel his burden, his heartbeat, his desire, his sincerity. And I hope and pray that you as the local assembly appreciate him for his burden, his desire, and his sincerity. God has given you great leadership. Oh, you know, I don't know what this building used to be, Brother Connell. I don't know what this building may have been at one time, but you know what? This building has been dedicated to God now. You said for about 5 years it just seemed like a building that you would come in and the people would occupy it and you'd just kind of disperse and go after church was over. Well, can I tell you, you broke that spirit, brother. Somewhere along the line, you broke that spirit because I'm telling you right now, the anointing, I'm not telling you something you don't know. I'm just reiterating it to you. The anointing of the Holy Ghost is in this house. The power of God is in this house. Just picture yourself healed tonight. Picture yourself full of the Holy Ghost. and reach for it. Reach for it in Jesus' name. Proverbs 29 and verse 18. Give honor to all the ministry once again that's in this house tonight. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Oh, you want to know why I got a smile on my face? Because I know there's only one God. And his name is Jesus. You want to know why I got a smile on my face and a spring in my step? Because thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, with all of thy soul, and with all of thy might. You want to feel the power of God set out to him completely. You want to know him like he wants to know you. Set out to him completely. Heart, body, soul, mind and strength. Just give it all to him. Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Thank you, church family. You can be seated tonight. Thank you, musicians. Thank you, young people, for singing with an anointing, singing with a burden. Thank you, thank you. What powerful moves of the Holy Ghost we felt this day. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 1. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it. Can I tell you, if you want to keep that vision that will keep you from perishing, and you want to keep that law that will keep you happy, you know what you got to do? Wherever you go, you got to take it with you. Wherever you go, you got to take the law of God with you. You got to take the love of God with you. Wherever you, whatever you face from day to day, you know what's going to sustain us when we're in a world that's so full of sin and so full of violence. When we're surrounded by things, Brother Connell, that try to steal our joy. You know what's going to keep our vision and keep us happy is if we've got the law burning on the inside of us. That hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, with all of thy soul, and with all of thy might. Oh, let's talk about the law just for a minute. I'm going to try to quickly get into the meat of my message. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God and keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son's sons, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it. That it might be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. We're talking about that promised land that Joshua and Caleb, when they came back, they said, we can do it. We can have it. Let's go take it. Verse number 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thine heart and with all of thy soul and with all of thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. You got to get it in your heart. It can't just be a head religion. It's got to be a heart religion. It can't just be something that we think about. It's got to be something that we feel deep down within us. Something that's been planted in us. Something that we love. Something that we would give our life for. Or something that no matter what we face, that we're going to keep the law of God living on the inside of us. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. You say, how do I keep that law that's going to make me happy? It's got to be what you sleep. It's got to be what you eat. It's got to be what you breathe. It's got to be your life. No, I'm not talking about being so spiritually minded that you're no earthly good. But I'm talking about walking in the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about understanding, oh, that the law that God has given us, that no matter where we go, we can take it with us. We can take it with us in Walmart. Take it with us wherever we go. There's a lot of bad places in this world. But when you got the law burning down on the inside of you, Can I tell you? It'll lead you and guide you into all truth. I want to talk to us just for a little bit tonight about a vision of victory. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. We talk about that law that's going to make us happy. You know what? I've been to churches before when there was people running the aisles and dancing and shouting, Brother Connell. Oh, they were just having Holy Ghost church. And right across the aisle from them was somebody that looked like they went to their best friend's funeral. It looked like you couldn't move them with a stick of dynamite. You want to know what it was? Somebody didn't understand the law that God tried to plant on the inside of them. Somewhere along the way, they let it slip. Somehow, Brother Connell, that law that God gave us that's supposed to make us happy. Let things slip and the enemy comes in. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse number 40 and verse number 41. I want to talk about a vision just for a little bit tonight, about a vision of victory. And he took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones out of the brook. And put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. Everybody say, before him. Now you have to understand that David... Oh, let's go back and begin to talk about David a little bit. What brought him here to this battlefield was a father that had told him, Jesse said, son, I want you to go down to the battlefield. I want you to bring these crackers and cheese and this bread, so to speak. And I want you to check on your brothers and the warriors. I want you to tell me how they're doing. I want you to bring me back a report. This young man walks on the scene, and here's a Goliath, a great big giant that steps out on the hillside, and he begins to challenge the armies of Israel. He begins to defy the armies of Israel, the God of the armies of Israel. He begins to say, send me a man. We know the story. This young man, best I can figure, he was about 17 years old. And you know what he done, brother? The Bible says that when they ran up out of the trenches, that David ran out of the trenches with them. But obviously they didn't go anywhere. They kind of ran out and just stopped because they was fear in their hearts. They'd already been in a battle for 40 days. They lost their vision of victory. I said they lost their vision of victory. Here's Saul, a man that stands head and shoulders taller than anybody else. He was quite a warrior himself. But for 40 days, they're in a battle with the Philistines. They haven't conquered the giant. You want to know why? It's because somewhere along the way, they lost their vision of victory. Somewhere along the way, God told them, I'm going to help you. But you got to keep a vision of victory in your mind. David enters into the battlefield. A 17-year-old boy. He begins to question, who is this man that defies the armies of Israel? What's he doing? You know the story. Some of his brothers looked at him. They kind of just scolded him a little bit. Boy, why don't you go back to dad where you came from? You have no business here. Something rose up on the inside of this 17-year-old boy. Something rose up on the inside of him. And he said, you know what, Saul? You give me an opportunity. And I'm telling you right now, I'll fight that giant. You want to know what David was going on? He was going on some past victories. Can I tell you, when he stepped into a battlefield one day, when he stepped on a battlefield one day, and Goliath steps out on a hillside, and he begins to roar, send me a man. When everybody else heard the sound of a Goliath, you know what little David heard? He told Saul about it in the tent. He said, you know what? I was tending to my father's sheep one day. And there was a lion that came and took one of my father's sheep. And you know what I done? He said, I pursued after the lion. I took the sheep out of the lion's mouth. And the lion rose up against me. And you know what I done, Saul? He said, I took him with my bare hands. And I slew him. Oh, you understand what I'm trying to get to tonight? David, Saul looked at him. He says, son, Why, what do you think you are? You're nothing but a youth. You're just a boy. You're just a kid. This man's been a warrior since his youth. This is the greatest man that's walked in shoe leather for a long time. This man is a warrior. So David comes back with his, with another story, but you don't understand, Saul. Oh, let me tell you another one. There was another day when I was tending to my father's sheep and a bear came along and it took one of my father's sheep. And you know what I done, Saul? He said, I pursued after him. You want to know why David pursued after him? Because he understood that's my enemy. And let me tell you, there comes times in our life when the enemy comes along and he takes things as precious to us and he runs away with it. We really have two options. We can either bow down and say, oh well, I'll give me another prayer life, or we can pursue after the enemy and say, oh no, you're not having what's rightfully mine. I'm going to take it back. Well, let me tell you what David done when he took it back. The Bible says when David took this sheep back from the bear and the lion, that wasn't the end of the story, Brother Connell. This lion rose up against David. This bear rose up against David. Let me tell you, there's times in our life when the enemy sneaks in unaware and he takes things that's so precious, things that we've worked for, things that we've labored for, things that mean something to us. The enemy kind of just sneaks in unaware and he takes it. And we have this, ability and this power to say, oh no, I'm going to take it back. And we go and we take it, Brother Connell. But then the enemy turns on us to try to ravish us sometimes. And it's then and there when we cower down to the enemy sometimes. And we say, you know what? Maybe what I took back wasn't so precious. What would have happened? How would the story have ended if little David, when he took this sheep, then when the bear rose against him, Brother Connell, what would have happened if little David would have just dropped the lamb and ran away for fear of the lion? Oh, no, that's not what he'd done. He had already taken back what was rightfully his. And he understood something. He said, you know what? If I don't kill that lion, he's just going to come right back and take it back from me again. I'm telling you, whenever we take things from the enemy, if we don't want him to just keep taking it back, we've got to have a vision of victory. We've got to take some things and just slay it in the spirit and say, oh no, I'm never going to fight you again. I'm going to get rid of you. What my vision of victory. What would have happened if little David would have walked off? I tell you what would have happened. The lion would have came back. The bear would have came back. Oh, there's times in our life whenever we have addictions and things that are just dragging us down. We have feelings and emotions that keeps us in such a turmoil. And it seems like we come to an altar, Brother Connell. We get victory over those things, it seems. We take back that little lamb, but we get up and walk away from the altar. Oh, when all the while the lion is still alive and the bear is still alive. Oh, and he's only going to come back when you least expect it and take it back again. Oh, so this is what little David was telling Saul. He's telling him about this story. And you know what he says? This uncircumcised Philistine is as one of those. You know what he had? He had a vision of victory. Let me tell you, God's already done things for you in your life in the past. You've already won the victory. Or you've already defeated the enemy. So what? You're facing a giant now. So what is the biggest enemy you've ever faced? So what is the biggest, the most trained person you've ever fought? So what? That everybody else is scared of him. Or you need to lay that aside and say, you know what, Saul? If you'll just give me an opportunity. Oh, God's already done it for me two times before. And I see myself defeating a giant. Let me have an opportunity. David walks onto the battlefield to deliver some supplies. But let me tell you what he had with him. He had a vision of victory. He had something with him that day when he enters into the battlefield, that these other soldiers that had been there for 40 days, they was going to perish because they had no vision. Their vision had been taken away from them by an enemy that was so big, Brother Connell, or by a giant that looked so big. Oh, but little David, he didn't worry about his size. He didn't worry about his ability. He didn't worry about his training. He simply looked at him and said, oh, you come to me with a spear and a sword, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. You want to know why he said that? Because he already envisioned himself being victorious over this giant. Oh, we need to take another look. I said, we need to take another look. Yeah, the giant may look big. The giant looks impossible. The giant looks overwhelming. Oh, but why don't we quit looking at the present circumstance? And why don't we reflect back to what God's already done? Where God already brought me from? Oh, some of you are facing giants in your life. It's time tonight to kill those giants. Oh, you know what you gotta do? Oh, you gotta slay. You got to have a vision of victory. You got to envision yourself being greater than you've ever been. Being stronger in God than you've ever been, or being closer to God than you've ever been. You say, Brother Parks, how do you do that? It's going to be through prayer. It's going to be through dedication. It's going to be through understanding the power of God that lives on the inside of you. Sometimes the enemy surrounds us from every side. Oh, but you know what? David was surrounded by that same army. But while everybody else heard the voice of a giant as he began to cry out, send me a man. There was something that he recognized. This little boy recognized something that nobody else did, Brother Paul. You know what he recognized? He said, wait a minute. Did you hear what I just heard? And they say, yeah, we heard a Goliath. We heard a giant sending out a request or a challenge. David said, oh no. Oh no. Oh, you're misunderstanding. Let me tell you what I heard. He said, that voice of Goliath, it sounded like the roar of a bear and the roar of a lion to me. So that's already, it's already, the deal has been sealed. I know God done it, and here he is to do it again. Give me an opportunity. My vision of victory. I'm ready to fight against the giant. Oh, somebody needs to get that vision of victory tonight. You've been going through things in your life. You've been warring against things that seems like you can't turn loose of. Things has got a grip on you. Oh, envision yourself free. Envision yourself free of that addiction, free of those things that keeps drawing you back and drawing you back. Let it go. Give it to God. Oh, you're facing a giant, yes. Oh, but give it to God and say, I'm going to come to this place with a vision of victory. I picture myself victorious over this. And just give it all to God. He's going to do it tonight. Let's all lift our hands to him for a moment. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, let's talk to him for a moment. You want the victory, you got to get a vision of it. God's going to bring it your way, but you got to picture yourself being the victor. You have to picture yourself being the one on top of the world and saying, I've done this not by my might and not by my power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. God's going to do it for us in this house tonight. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15 through 19. And when the servant of the men of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountains was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. When they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, smite these people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Oh, let me tell you, there's a lot of times in our walk with God. Oh, we're close to the man of God and we come and we say, man of God, I don't know what I'm going to do. It seems like I'm surrounded. Oh, I can't even number the enemy. This got me encompassed. I don't know what I'm going to do. It seems like I'm just overwhelmed. Oh, it seems like I can't deal with my circumstance. I can't deal with my situation. It seems like I can't get out of this. Oh, my heart is troubled. Oh, I've lost my vision. And I'm going to perish if you don't help me, good man of God. When all the while, you know what we need to do? So many times we just focus on the enemy. We focus on how big the enemy is. We focus on how many the enemy is. When all the while God is saying, you know what I want somebody to do in this house? I want you to pray about it. I want you to get a new vision of victory. And I want you to go take another look. Because although the enemy is powerful, or the enemy's got you surrounded, there's more with you than they are with him. Can I tell you, God is on our side. Somebody, we need to take another look, but have a vision of victory. Take another look at your surroundings. Because God is there all the time. It doesn't matter if the enemies are innumerable. The army that God has got on our side is greater than the enemy. Take another look. You're surrounded by things that you can't cope with, you can't deal with. Your life seems to be in shambles. Oh, there's chaos. Oh, it's like a train wreck every day that you get up. And all you can see is the enemy. Saul, all you can see is Goliath. But David, he saw something beyond Goliath. He saw a victory for the children of Israel. That's why when he stepped on the battlefield, he said, I come to you in the name of the Lord. He already understood. Oh, that though it was just him and the Goliath fighting, that God was on his side. Oh, take another look at your surroundings tonight. If you don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost and you're surrounded by things and the enemy's got you captivated, you know what you need to do? You need to be sensitive to the Lord tonight and say, you know what? I want to go to that altar. I want to get that vision of victory that this man's preaching about. And the way you're going to do that is through the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, I feel God reaching for somebody right now. Somebody's situation, it seems like it's always going to be like this. Oh, you've just come to accept your plight. You've come to accept your dilemma. But I've come to tell somebody tonight, in the power of the Holy Ghost, you need to envision yourself victorious over the enemy. You need to envision yourself destroying the lion and the bear. You need to envision yourself that I'm going to be better, but it's only going to be with God. Oh, don't be fearful of the enemy that's surrounding you. Look beyond the enemy. God's got a victory for somebody in this house tonight. Psalms 27 and 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. You know what his confidence was in? He had a vision of victory. I said he had a vision of victory. He understood that though my battle is hard, although the war is raging, I know the outcome. I already know the way the book ends. I read the back of the book and we win. Oh, God's fighting for somebody in this house tonight. God will fight your battles, but you just got to surrender to him. Psalms 56 and 4, in God will I praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Oh, somebody needs to envision yourself victorious over your situation. Oh, you've been captive to these things long enough. You've been captive to your own will long enough. Why don't somebody give it to God tonight and say, God, I'm releasing everything to you. God, I'm going to envision myself victorious in the Holy Ghost. Oh, why don't we all stand to our feet tonight as the musicians would come. Isaiah 54 and 17, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Our weapons are mighty through God. Why don't you envision yourself victorious tonight? Let's all be sensitive to Him right now. These altars are open. Oh, somebody, why don't we be sensitive to the Holy Ghost right now? Why don't we envision ourselves full of the Holy Ghost? Why don't we envision ourselves with victory in our life? And give it all to God. Lay it all at His feet. Oh, others are running away because they hear the voice of a giant. But I'm running headlong because I already know the victory that God has already laid out before me. First John 4 and 4 says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Get a vision of victory tonight. Get a vision of victory tonight. Just surrender to God. Surrender it all to God. Get that vision of victory. You don't want to perish. Get that vision of victory. Say, I know I can. Oh, with men these things be impossible. But with God all things are possible. Get that victory mindset in this service tonight. Holy Ghost. Don't let the enemy lie to you and tell you it's not for you. Don't let the enemy lie to you and tell you you just accept your circumstance because this is how it's going to be. But envision yourself with the victory. Envision yourself winning the battle in Jesus' name.